Today, we'll talk about Amy's September trip report. That's coming up on this episode 190 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 190. I'm still getting caught up on trip reports. We have several in a row to publish and get out to you before it gets too late. This one is from September, and this was Amy's family and interesting elements to her trip, including a combination of staying on-site and off-site. She has four children, and anytime you have a family that's bigger than four total people, Disney makes it very difficult to figure out accommodations. So she has the four children, which means she had to plan her accommodations very carefully. And one of her children is special needs, so that was an element that was interesting to hear about and figure out how they were able to tour. And anyway, so really interesting elements from Amy, and I don't want to spend too much more time before introducing her, but just as always, a reminder to follow on social media. Just search WW Prep School on whatever platform you're on and follow along. Without any further ado, here is Amy. Welcome to the podcast, Amy.
Thanks, Shannon.
So you and I are talking on Thursday, September 13th. And mm-hmm. I have a feeling you are about to go on a trip and there is a storm approaching, so it's going to factor into your trip plans.
That's right. Flo has changed things up for us.
Yeah. Okay. So change things up. So did you have original trip dates and now they've changed to something else?
That's correct. So up until last night, our plan was to leave on Saturday, September 15th and return Thursday, September 20th. Because we live in Central Virginia, which now is mostly out of the woods, we just wanted to be extra careful. So we are now leaving on Sunday, September 16th, and flying back Saturday, September 22nd.
All right. So did you just make the change last night?
I did.
And how did you go about making those changes on flights and dining and hotel and all that stuff?
So we are flying JetBlue, and they have been absolutely amazing. So they didn't charge us anything. We kept calling and asking what they thought, and finally they were like, yeah, just change it. We have spots on your flight, no problem. So that was actually the easiest thing to do. We just called. They switched for all of our flights, and that was really straightforward. For Disney, we called and had to cancel our Saturday night reservations. Unfortunately, the resort that we're staying at didn't have availability for the room type that we need. So I thought, all right, well, Shannon really likes Pop Century. So I looked them up, and I thought I could get two connecting rooms or two rooms at all, but they are completely sold out for the additional dates that we needed. And then Art of Animation, the one-bedroom suite, doesn't work for us. So we are actually going to switch to Wyndham Bonnet Creek for our last two nights.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That is where I'm staying in November because I couldn't find any availability at Disney World either.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, I've heard amazing things, so I'm actually kind of excited.
Okay, so Wyndham Bonnet Creek is where
that'll be.
And now, that's for which days?
That's for Thursday, the 20th and Friday the 21st.
Okay, so the last 2 days.
Right.
All right, and because you had to extend your dates. Okay, now where are you at?
I kind of snuck an extra night out of it by my husband. I was like, oh, we should just stay extra because of the trauma.
Yeah, it's only fair.
That's right.
Where are you staying the first part of your trip?
So we are doing Animal Kingdom Lodge. We're going for one of my son's fifth birthday, and he adores animals, so I thought we should give him some animal views.
All right. So this trip is for your son's fifth birthday?
Yes. So the first time we went was for my oldest son's fifth birthday. On a whim, we thought it would be fun. And then we realized, oh my gosh, now we have to go for all our kids' fifth birthdays. And then once I got there, I was like, this is the best plan ever. I'm just going to keep having babies and keep going on their fifth birthdays.
Oh, man. That is a lot of work for for a trip.
For a Disney trip. That's right. It's worth it.
Okay. So now we know you have a 5-year-old son. How old are your other kids?
So I have four sons. I have my son James is 7. He'll be 8 in a week and a half. I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, and my youngest just turned 1 last week.
7, 5, 3, and 1.
That's right.
That is busy. I know you. I'm sure you hear that a lot.
Yes, it is busy. Yep. And because so my husband and I are going, and then we're actually taking our au pair with us because the kids are so young.
Okay. You have your au pair. So does the au pair live with you?
She does. Once we had our third, my husband and I work full time. We just had to bring in live-in help.
Yeah. Even after 2, I was looking, you know, should I get live-in help? Daycare gets difficult.
It's really nice. And, you know, it's pretty economical, actually. You get pretty good hours for not so much money.
Yeah. Okay. So she's traveling with you. So that means you have, let's see, I'm good at math here. That's 7 people.
That's correct.
But the 1-year-old doesn't count towards the total.
That's right.
Right. So really it's 6 that count towards the total. Right. And that's why you kind of were limited in where you could stay.
Right. So when at Animal Kingdom Lodge, we have a 2-bedroom suite, which really nicely bounces us up to the club level by virtue of it being a 2-bedroom suite. But yes, that did limit us on the Thursday, Friday additional stay.
Yes. And staying at Wyndham Bonnet Creek, you have basically like a condo, I assume, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like a full kitchen and 2 big bedrooms and I think a balcony. So yeah, it'll be great.
Yeah. It's crazy how much space you can get.
For not a lot of money. I'm shocked at the price.
For not a lot of money. That's absolutely true. Okay. So we know your trip dates now. We know where you're staying. And you said you're going because it's your son's birthday. This is not your first trip.
Correct. Yep.
How many good times have you been before?
So as an adult, just that first time when my son turned 5.
Okay. So this
will be my second time as like the parent figure.
Your second time planning it with kids.
Yes.
And obviously you went 2 years ago because your son is 7, almost 8 now.
That's exactly the exact time of year. We went last September. I just, for whatever reason, I take a week off every September, and I just really liked it. Going to Disney that time. And my son actually turned 5 in June, but I didn't want to go to Orlando in the heat. So we just postponed it to September.
Good. And, you obviously liked going in September because you're repeating that.
Yeah, it was the crowds were a little bit less. It wasn't too hot. I mean, it's hot, but not June levels. So yeah, we really liked it. Thought it worked well. I think my kids are young enough. I can pull them out of school and not worry too much. And this is probably the last year for that. So we thought we'd do September again. Although I've been listening to your stuff recently and I'm like, shoot, we should have gone in June with the crowds.
I know. Well, things have changed a lot the last couple of years.
I know. Next time. I guess I have 2 more to plan it better.
Well, I wouldn't say better. It just has changed, you know?
Just so, different. Yeah.
You know, you have to update your knowledge, your trip planning knowledge. But at the time you went, that was the, you know, common thinking was that summer was really busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, things have changed. Okay. So when it came time to plan all of your days, how did you decide to split your time?
So we're going to do one park each day. And with the hotel switch, I'm actually just going to use that as a rest day. So what I had to do, our first day was going to be Animal Kingdom because I thought, well, we're at Animal Kingdom Lodge. That's the closest. We'll pop over there on Sunday. So sadly, I had to give up Tusker House and 4 Flight of Passage fast passes, which was really hard to do for this Sunday. So, but we're still going to do just one park per day. So we'll fly in Sunday now. And then Monday we will do Magic Kingdom. Tuesday will be Hollywood Studios. Wednesday will be Epcot. Thursday will be Hotel Transition Pool. Friday will be Animal Kingdom. And Saturday we'll leave.
All right. Okay. So you said you had to give a Flight of Passage fast passes, which is painful.
It's awful. I mean, people are losing their homes. I got to have perspective here. But
yeah. Oh, I know. I know. Listen, anything we talk about on this podcast is champagne problems. So
that's right, exactly.
I get it. But it's all relative, right?
That's
so
it.
As far as Disney World planning goes, that's a painful problem to have. Did you – what about other fast passes? Did you get like Toy Story Land?
Yes. So I actually somehow – well, so first when we went to go do the fast passes, the entire system was shut down, which is really frustrating. And I actually you know, got on my phone because I was driving to work and actually pulled over on the side of the mountain to try to get fast passes in the middle of the highway. So I ended up with, on Monday at Magic Kingdom, I have Peter Pan's Flight, Space Mountain, and Seven Dwarves Mine Train. On Tuesday at Hollywood Studios, I have Rock and Roller Coaster, Tower of Terror, and Slinky Dog Dash.
Good one.
Yeah, and that I had to do, I used your advice, I did one individually. So one at a time, I requested just one, you know, got one and then went back, got another. So the times overlap, but they're not exactly the same.
Okay.
And then Wednesday, I have Soarin', Journey into the Imagination, and Mission Space. So those, I got Soarin', the other ones were okay.
Yeah. Okay, so you got some good ones. And a couple things to talk about. There are a lot of FastPass problems. A lot of FastPass problems. So if other people encounter that, I hope they won't freak out. Did you end up doing them all online or did you call?
I didn't call. I did it mostly on my phone because I was in the car. And I had my husband actually at home on the computer. And so between – it finally opened up like an hour and a half later. And you could sneak in and get like – every once in a while it would work. So we just kept trying and trying and finally got, you know, pretty much what we needed.
Yeah. It's so frustrating to me, that these problems keep happening because I cannot imagine being a first time planner and encountering that because you don't know. I mean, not that you're a first time planner, but, it's still not something you do every day. And it's gotta be frustrating, especially when you're, you know, high hopes.
Well, especially when you have all these plans and you have your strategy and you wake up early and it, you know, falls apart. But I guess that's good training for the park days.
Yeah, but you know, if the systems would just work, ideally getting up early and 2 months ahead of time would, you know, pay off. But it is.
Well, unbelievably, the same thing happened for my dining reservations. It was completely crashed for dining as well.
Okay. So, I want to talk about dining in just a second. I'm kind of going a little out of order compared to normal, but
sorry.
It's not your fault. I'm the one that asked. Okay. So I want to talk about the fast passes. So based on the fast passes you mentioned, you are clearly planning to do some of the bigger rides. So how did you decide to do that? Cause you have some small children that won't be able to ride.
So my 7 and 5 year old absolutely love roller coasters. And they're mostly looking forward to the roller coasters. So I just booked the fast passes under the assumption that, you know, I can do it. And if I need to alter, the other kids later, I will, but I just wanted to get the as good ones as I could get and kind of make changes later.
Yeah. So what is your plan for the 3 and 1 year old? Does the au pair stay with them?
Yes. So that's why we're bringing the au pair, was so that my husband and I could, you know, have fun with our older kids. And then we'll get a rider swap for her to do, or she has some fast passes on her own, or we'll do a rider swap and just kind of switch off who stays with the littles while the bigs and the adults go on the rides. Although I've heard that there's a new rider switch system that's not paper and it's electronic and it's a little bit more difficult. So I'm going to have to look a little more into that when it gets closer.
It is the same system as before, except that they do, instead of giving you a paper rider switch, they scan your Magic Band to put it. That the reason they do that is because people were selling the rider switch passes.
Oh my goodness.
And if they put it on your band, then obviously you can't sell it, but it works the same. I have verified over and over and over again. And I actually have a podcast interview going up today or tomorrow that I already recorded with someone who verified that that's how it works. So I think you'll find that it works just fine.
Okay, good. That's reassuring. Yeah.
The problem is that the occasional cast member will decide to enforce things differently, and then that just ruins it for everybody because everyone starts to panic about, you know, the system. But in general, it works the same as it used to. Your return time is usually within the hour as opposed to days later, because I think those rider switch passes used to say you could come back days later or even, like, weeks later.
Right.
So as long as you come back within the hour, you're okay.
Okay, got it. And that does bring up, not to sidetrack you completely, but one thing I didn't mention was that my 3-year-old son actually has quite a few special needs. He has a chromosome disorder. So we are actually at some point going to get the DAS pass to use for the rides that he can go on.
Okay. So, yes, please, I'm going to write that down. Please share when you get back how that worked out for you.
I've heard a lot of different stories.
Yeah. And so, I mean, the basic, I don't have personal experience with this, but the basic gist is that you go to guest relations at the parks. You tell them your situation, and then they try to accommodate you the best they can. And sometimes that means giving you the DAS pass so that you don't have to stand in lines.
Yes. So we will see that. And then the stroller is a wheelchair pass because he's non-mobile. So those will be some extra considerations, or, you know, that's also why I got the roller coaster fast passes, because I thought, well, the stuff that Finn can go on, we'll use the DAS pass.
Okay. I'll write down the stroller as a wheelchair thing too, because I want to know how that works for you. Okay. Did he go on your, he went on your last trip, right?
He was 2.5 months old on the last trip.
Oh, okay. Okay. So very different situation.
Yeah, not really. He had just been diagnosed, which is how we ended up last minute going to Disney. But yeah, he was a newborn.
Okay. All right. So I wrote that down so we can talk about that when you get back. Let's loop back around to dining. And by loop back around, I mean, I followed my own 6-step planning process and I went out of order. So you said that when you went to make dining reservations, you had some issues with My Disney Experience, but what did you end up being able to reserve?
So I ended up calling and was on hold for 90 minutes, but I ended up getting Tusker House for breakfast on Sunday the 16th, which I subsequently let go. And then I got Be Our Guest.
Which meal?
For breakfast. Mm-hmm. And that was actually going to be on Wednesday the 19th, and I didn't think we were going to do Epcot. And then I got Hollywood and Vine for breakfast on Tuesday the 18th, thinking I would use that for Jedi training, but I've obviously been listening to you and I'm going to drop that, or I did drop that because apparently that's not necessary anymore. Mm-hmm. So actually all three that I got on the 180 days out, I have since dropped due to various reasons.
Okay. So what's left?
So last night, once we changed everything around, I was able to get Crystal Palace on Monday the 17th at 2 o'clock for lunch, and then Tusker House at 4 o'clock on Friday the 21st for an early dinner.
Okay, so those are your two reservations,
right?
And I'm going to guess that you do not have the Disney dining plan,
right? Yeah. My kids can barely sit through a meal. They're four active boys, or three of them are. So it just really wasn't. Sit down meals aren't really a big part of our trip. They want to go and do stuff, so it just really wasn't worth it for us. And then my 3-year-old is purely G-tube fed, and they said I had to buy the entire package for him, and that was kind of offensive. So I just said no.
I think that is very offensive.
He can't eat. He literally can't eat. He can't eat, right. And they said, well, you can apply for a refund, but it's not a guarantee. And I said, forget it. I'm not going to do this.
Oh, man. All right. Well, that's a whole
thing. But it's fine. We weren't going to use it anyway.
So. Yeah, but still. I mean, you plan on going back, you know, when he's 5.
Right, for his 5th birthday. Right?
Yeah. So that doesn't seem quite fair. Okay. All right, so you have those dining reservations. So are you planning on doing quick service outside of those two?
We are. We have Club Level at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, so I was going to rely heavily on that for breakfast and maybe some mid-afternoon snacks. And we usually pack some, or last time we packed some snacks. And so quick service and kind of just packing food to fill the gaps. My kids are snackers and they're happy just eating whatever, so we'll just kind of eat as we go.
Yeah. That's the beauty of little kids, especially. They can do that. Yeah. They love a snack.
Right. And the nice thing, I guess, about my children, because I don't want to be sexist here, is I didn't need to plan any Disney or princess encounters. I even said, do you guys want to do princess stuff? Do you want to? And they were like, no, why would we do that? So the all-boy thing is working to my advantage in this scenario as well.
Yeah. Fewer reservations to have to get.
Right.
Okay. Let's see. What else? Do you have Memory Maker?
I do.
Okay, you do have Memory Maker. It seems like most people are getting that these days.
Yeah, there's so few pictures of all of us that I just thought this is a great chance for it.
Okay, and then you mentioned that your 3-year-old has a stroller as his wheelchair. And then beyond your 3-year-old, how are you handling the stroller situation?
So we're bringing a single stroller, and then we're renting a double stroller because I know the 5-year-old's going to get tired, and then for the baby. So we'll probably put the stroller as a wheelchair on the single one. So we do have 3 stroller spaces.
And you have 3 adults to help with that.
Right, exactly.
Okay, and where are you renting your double stroller from, Disney?
Kingdom Strollers.
Okay, from Kingdom.
Who have been great, by the way. I called them today and told them about the changes, and they were like, no problem, got it, and sent me confirmation 2 minutes later.
Good. Do you have, are you doing anything, well, you're club level. I was going to say, do you have like food delivery type things happening? But
we're going to do Amazon Prime now just to have, you know, some extra snacks and drinks and stuff in the room.
Okay. Yeah. Club level helps alleviate some of that need, but not all of it, I guess.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right. And then are there things planned for this trip that we haven't mentioned yet?
Yep. So with the older boys, we're going to do the Star Wars dessert party. So we'll have the au pair watch the littles. So we'll do that one night with the older boys just for a special time with them.
Okay. Star Wars with the older boys. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So on that day, I mean, we can talk about when you get back, but on that day, it sounds like you're going to be in Hollywood Studios earlier in the day, but then the little ones will be back with the au pair that night.
Right. So I'm thinking if we can get Hollywood Studios done pretty early, we'll take all the kids back, help her get the little settled, and then go back. Because we have the park, well, I guess it doesn't matter, park hopper, but just kind of get them settled and then go back. And I think with the bigs, we have like inflatable car seats, so we can actually easily use Uber to get back instead of dealing with the buses.
Mm-hmm. So you're bringing inflatable car seats. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I think in the Uber article we have on the website, we mention that if you have little ones, you can do the inflatable car seats, but I've never talked to anybody that actually used them. So,
oh, they're great. I love them.
Yeah. That's handy. Very, very handy. Okay. Well, this has been interesting to talk to you. You've had a lot of kinks along the way, but
yeah, and hopefully that's all out of the way and it'll all be magical going forward.
Yes, hopefully so. With the right attitude, I'm convinced that anything can go well. Okay, so I'll talk to you in, I think, a couple weeks, and we'll see how it all worked out.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks, Amy. Welcome back from your trip, Amy.
Thank you.
So you and I are speaking on October 7th, so you have been back from your trip for a little while. How are you?
Doing well, fully settled, back in the routine of things.
Good. Usually I talk a little closer to the date, so you've had a little bit more time to recoup, which is nice.
It is nice, although now I'm kind of like, did that really happen? It seems like a dream.
Yeah. Yeah. So if it's a dream instead of a nightmare, that's a good thing.
That's true.
So overall, how did you think your trip went?
It was wonderful. It was an awesome, awesome trip. It was amazing and exhausting and stressful and magical in the way only Disney can be.
Yeah, you pretty much just summed it up right there, didn't you? Magical and exhausting. It's all at the same time.
That's right.
Okay, so let's talk through it, because you told us last time that you're originally scheduled to do a trip from September 15th to the 20th, and you changed it to 16th to the 22nd.
That's right. So we left on the 16th, and it was flawless. Everything was on time, got there no problem. So it worked out, I guess, well that we had changed our flights. So we landed in Orlando around 3 and had a private car take us to our hotel, which was awesome. I'd never done that before, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, that's the VIP service when you don't have to wait for a bus or anything. So that's nice. Did they help you with your luggage?
He did. Orlando's his name. He was amazing. He was waiting for us. He helped us with our luggage. And he had 4 car seats, appropriately sized car seats, already installed in the car and ready to go for us. And just whisked us away to our hotel. So it was great. And it was only $80. So it was pretty reasonable.
Yeah, not bad at all. Especially when you need so many car seats and you have a lot of bags to juggle and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
All right. So the car took you to Animal Kingdom Lodge, correct?
Correct.
And you were staying club level there. What were your first impressions of Animal Kingdom Lodge?
So it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful and amazingly done. I thought it was dark, really dark, and a little bit hushed. You know what I meant?
What do you mean?
Like we walked in and the lobby was really quiet, you know, like it didn't feel like a vacation-y type spot. You know, everything was really hushed and I kind of felt like I had to shush the kids a lot. Yeah. And it was dark, but it was spectacularly beautiful. But it just felt a little more somber than I would have maybe wanted a Disney hotel to be?
Yeah, so that's why I wanted you to clarify, because I think that's an interesting observation, because some hotels are more like that. And Animal Kingdom Lodge is one of them. I do think it's very appealing to adults, but if you have little kids that you're trying to keep quiet, that would feel maybe a little less welcoming.
Right, it's a little bit stressful, I thought. And also wasn't the smoothest check-in. Honestly, we didn't have that great of an experience at all in general, Animal Kingdom Lodge. My kids absolutely love the animals, like every morning, just screaming with excitement to see zebras and giraffes outside our windows. So that part was amazing. But generally, we had pretty shockingly bad service and experience with them.
You know, I'm hearing this a lot about Animal Kingdom Lodge. Yeah, I had hoped your experience would be better, but I appreciate you sharing what it really was. And so hopefully Animal Kingdom Lodge will get to work on that, because I think it's become a bit of a trend there.
Oh, that's so interesting, because I was kind of like, am I just being not a nice person? But or were my expectations too high? So it's good to hear that I'm not the only one. But I will say, at one point, the second day, things had gotten so bad. And I'm very non-confrontational, but I just like, I have to talk to a manager. This is insane. And he was even like, yeah, this is terrible. I can't save this trip for you. So, you know, we'll, in the future, we'll comp you two nights. And I was like, okay, but not here. Right. So yeah, it was disappointing, but the facilities, like I said, were beautiful, but I don't think we'll go back.
Okay. So service was lacking. It was a little quiet for your family, and, facilities are beautiful. Okay.
Yes. And far, but it's far. It's really far.
Because you were staying where at Animal Kingdom Lodge? In Kidani?
We were in the Jumbo House. I just mean it's far from the parks. Like, I felt like everything was a long time to get places and expensive when we took various taxi routes. I just think it's far away too.
Right. It definitely, as a deluxe, has that going against it, since most of the deluxes are located near a park. So I can see that if you're evaluating the pros and cons.
Right.
That's in the con list. Absolutely. Okay. So you were staying club level. How was the club lounge?
That was great. We loved that. And we took full advantage of that. And the club concierge were lovely. And the club service people were absolutely lovely. So it was great. I mean, they had great food, great drinks. It was really beautiful. So that, and I didn't feel like that, I felt like the kids could be kids there and it wasn't frowned upon. So that was reassuring.
In the club lounge?
Yeah.
That's an unexpected observation.
I was a little bit surprised too, because I thought, oh my gosh, this is not going to be good. But I actually saw more kids in the club level lounge than the lobby.
Interesting, because I associate club level lounges with adults. I mean,
that's what I was worried about.
Right. Having been in them a few times, obviously there are children there, but it just tends to be at a place for adults to sit and chat and have a drink or whatever. So interesting observation. You found more children in the club lounge. I'm glad that was a welcoming spot for your family.
Yes. And Jungle Juice mimosas are really fantastic. That was probably worth staying there, maybe.
That's the way you started your days, huh?
Well, I don't know. If I did, I may have fallen asleep, but I ended them that way anyway.
You ended them that way. So they had mimosas at night too.
If you ask for them, they'll make them. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. When I stayed Yacht Club level, they had mimosas in the morning. So I was associating it with that, because they had like a special cart, I think, that was in the hallway or something for that. But every lounge is a little different.
Right. So yeah. Maybe it's just because nobody else has asked for it. And I just like,
yeah, maybe so. Maybe that's the quick tip today. You can ask for mimosas at night if you want.
At any time you want. That's right.
Okay. So we got your first impressions of the hotel. Now, this time of year that you traveled, how did you feel about the crowds and the weather?
So the crowds I thought were fantastic. I mean, it was remarkably low at Magic Kingdom and Epcot. So the crowds were great. I mean, we had no trouble getting fast passes. We hardly waited in line for food. I thought the crowds were noticeably low when we were there. The weather was hot, really, really hot. I think one day when we were leaving, the bus driver said the heat index was 107. Mm-hmm. So it was hot.
Yeah, hotter than normal. I think anybody going in September should expect it to be hot. I think this year is hotter than normal, so you got, you know, an even bigger dose of that. Right. During your trip. I think a lot of us, where do you guys live?
Well, now we live in Virginia. I mean, but we're native. My husband and I are native Texans. You would think we could handle it. But
well, no, because I'm from Kansas originally. So I associate September with fall temperatures, mild temperatures. And so it can be pretty shocking to go to Florida and realize it still feels like summer.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So it's definitely very, very warm still in September. But I'm glad that you were able to observe low crowds, because that should be predicted for this time of year.
And it almost compensated for the heat. because there's less people to deal with. And it was easier to get to inside waiting areas, because there was more room, I think.
Yeah. So I have a theory that it's heat and crowds don't go together. So if you can choose one or the other, everyone can, it seems to have more patience. So like in December, Christmas week, it's super busy, but it's not hot. So it seems easier to deal with the crowds because you're not also dealing with the heat at the same time. But
so pick your poison, really.
You pick your poison. If you can get both, that's the magic, but that's hard to do. Okay, so you told us before your trip that you were going to do a park per day, right? And that you needed to look into the disability pass for your 3-year-old, right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so did you go ahead and try to do the disability pass first at the beginning of your trip?
So we actually had some snafus with Amazon Prime, and where they basically ruined my groceries. Not Amazon Prime, but Animal Kingdom Lodge. They gave us 3 extra fast passes for Magic Kingdom our first day. So I thought, okay, well, let's just do all that and then get the disability pass at the end of the day. So I didn't get it first thing in the morning because we had 6 fast passes, which got us through a lot. But I did get it that first day. And that was really easy to do. We just walked into guest services, briefly explained the situation, and the lady could not have been sweeter and more helpful. And all 7 of us got on the pass. She didn't question the number. And it was great. It was super easy. And then the stroller is a wheelchair. We got that without problem as well.
All right. And so just to explain to people that are interested in possibly using a disability pass. So this isn't, you didn't go in and say, I need a disability pass. I assume you explained your situation and they took appropriate measures based on that.
Yes, we carried in my son. All of us went in, we carried him in, and we just said, he's non-mobile, non-verbal, has hearing issues. So, standing in line's a little bit challenging for all of us and for him. And she was like, oh, okay, great, no problem. But he was with us, and, he's super cute, but he's pretty obviously has some disabilities.
Right. I just wanted to clarify that because I think some people have a sort of misconception about how that works. But basically, if you have an issue, you should go to guest relations, tell them your issue, and then they will work with you to figure out the best way to resolve it. Yes. Sometimes that's a disability pass, sometimes it's not. It just depends. And then you mentioned you got the disability pass, correct?
Correct.
And then stroller as wheelchair is sort of a separate thing where your son's stroller was treated as a wheelchair. So how is that different than a child that is just in a wheelchair? I mean, in a stroller because they are like too young to walk.
So you get this big red tag that basically has stroller equals wheelchair sign on it. And for buses, you can just push the stroller on and they can strap it down. Now that only worked out for us one time because there are a lot of scooters and they can only take one at a time. And then for going through lines, you can push the stroller all the way through until you get onto the ride. And then they will take your stroller and have it waiting for you when you get off the ride. You have to be able to transfer the individual onto the ride yourself.
Right.
But you can certainly push it through the lines, whereas a non-walking child, you would just have to carry.
Right. And so for small children that use strollers, there's a lot of stroller parking throughout Disney World. And they end up having to walk through the queues a lot, but your son did not. So, okay. So good to know how that works for you. And then, so as we start to talk about your park days, it sounds like you went to Magic Kingdom first and partially because you were given the fast passes at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
I'd had that been my plan. Okay. So you go to Magic Kingdom the first day, I'd had my original three fast passes, and he asked what day I wanted the 3 additional fast passes for. And I said, oh, well, Magic Kingdom, of course. So it just worked out that we had extra on our first day at Magic Kingdom.
Okay, so you end up with 6.
Correct.
I'm really good at math. 3 + 3. Okay, so and that was your arrival day, or was it the following day?
That was the following day. Our arrival day, we just hung out, checked things out, and went to bed.
Okay, so let's walk through that. Did you get to Magic Kingdom before it opened, or how did that day begin?
We did. We got up early. We had breakfast at the club level and then hustled out to the buses and got there before for rope drop or the opening show. Although I have to say the purse check or bag check took forever. But we still managed to get through and be there on time.
Yeah, if you saw the opening show, you were there before it opened. So, but I think it's a good point about the security, because sometimes that takes forever, especially before park opening when there's a lot of people showing up all at once.
I was surprised at the number of people in line at bag check.
Yeah, it definitely can be pretty shocking. And that's with them breaking it up at Magic Kingdom. It used to all be in front of Magic Kingdom, and now the people at the resorts in Magic Kingdom do it before they get on the monorail. So it's a little bit more broken up than it used to be, but it's still a lot of lines. Yeah. Build that into your schedules, people. It's shocking sometimes how long those lines get. Okay, so you're there for the opening show, and then you're ready to go into Magic Kingdom. So how did your day go?
It went really smooth. Again, the crowds weren't bad at all. So we actually I went to Barnstormer first just to get the kids warmed up, make sure they still love roller coasters. And they're, you know, we did that twice with no weight at all. We did aerials with no weight, teacups with no weight. And then went to our fast pass at Peter Pan, which the line at that point, the line for Peter Pan was long, but we just zipped right in and for Peter Pan. And then we did Seven Dwarfs Mine Train fast pass right after that. And then we had a little time to kill. So we meandered over and we did Space Mountain and had to wait 10 minutes for a fast pass for that. And again, this is with rider swapping. So everything took a little bit longer for us, I guess, because my two kids would go with my husband and the nanny, and I would wait, and then I would go with the two kids again.
But can you talk about the rider switch? Because people always want to know. So did you have children that re-rode, like they rode in the first and second groups?
Yes, unless the ride terrified my five-year-old, and then he didn't go again. But yes, the children always had the opportunity to go again.
That is the thing that people seem to question, if that's still possible. So the first group of you that did rider switch had fast passes, right?
Yes.
And then you would ask the cast member or tell them that you needed to use rider switch. So then they would scan the magic bands of whoever wanted to ride in the second group.
That's correct. And then we would either hold on to it or take it back to that person and get in line then. Yep.
Right. And up to three people?
Yes, it was always three. So we never tried to do more. But yeah, three was fine.
Okay. Up to three people in the second group. And it could be the same person that had the fast pass also was in the second group and had their magic band scan. Right. Okay. Got it. And I'm glad to hear that that worked for you.
Okay. No problem.
And you had a nanny with you. So you had all hands on deck to help take care of the kids.
Right.
But rider switch certainly does double your time because you're riding everything twice. So good thing that you had fast passes.
for everything.
Okay. So just want to clarify that for anybody else who wanted to do the same thing that you did. Is this also the day that you had Crystal Palace lunch?
It is. Yep. Mm-hmm. So that was, unfortunately, the lunch was at 2:15, and after Space Mountain, the kids were pretty hangry. So we jumped in line for Buzz, and I mobile ordered as I got on Buzz Lightyear. Mm-hmm. And then when we got off, just walked over to that lunching pad and had the snack just to tide us over until our 2:15 lunch.
Yes. It's amazing how hungry you get when you're there.
Yeah. And hot, so they got the frozen Coke, which they thought was super cool. So we did some more rides, Thunder Mountain, things like that. And then we had lunch at Crystal Palace, which was so sweet. It was really lovely.
So good food and good character interactions?
Yeah, character interactions were fantastic. The Winnie the Pooh characters were so sweet. And my kids generally didn't like characters, but they really loved these and warmed up to them. And the baby got Tigger's face really dirty, but they were really nice about it. So it was great. It was great. The food was good. The service was great. It was lovely. And it was a good break. It was so hot and we were tired at that point. So we just kind of hung out for a little bit at the lunch and enjoyed the air conditioning and the cold drinks for a little bit and refreshed. And then after that, we actually, I thought the kids needed a little bit more of a break. So we actually just walked to Main Street to the barbershop to see if they would do my son's first haircut. And they fit us right in, took us as a walk-in. So that was a nice surprise.
That is a nice surprise. They didn't used to take reservations and now they do. So I always wonder how much of a walk-in, how much they'll allow for walk-ins, but I'm glad they snuck you in there.
They did. And they were lovely about it. And then since we were right there and that's actually when we popped over to guest services to get the disability pass. So that worked out great. And by that time, I think it was like 4 o'clock. So we went to go do our last fast pass at Splash Mountain. And unfortunately, it was closed down for repairs or something. So we waited a while and it didn't get fixed. And we were just so tired at that point that we just went and got on the buses and went back to the resort.
So you went back to the resort. Was that the end of your day or were you going back to the resort for a break?
No, I was kind of going to see how the kids were, but we didn't get back to the resort till 5:30. And it had been a long, hot day. So we kind of just called it done at that point. So we just kind of looked at the animals, walked around, had dinner at the club level. We would have done the pool, but it was closed for refurbishment. So I just kind of let the kids hang out in the hotel room and we all went to bed early.
Yeah. The nice thing about a deluxe hotel is that there are things to do. If you don't want to be in the parks, you can, in your case, look at the animals.
Right. It would have been nice to have a pool. But the one that they were providing as an alternate, you had to hop on a bus and take it to Kidani. And I didn't think my kids had it in them at that point.
Yes. It's especially a bummer to not have a pool when it's hot.
Right. Right.
Yes. Totally understand that. Okay. So that was the end of your Magic Kingdom day.
Yeah, which overall was a huge success. We had a great time. It was lovely.
Good. And you also mentioned in your pre-trip report that you were renting a stroller, right?
Yes.
And so you had your special needs son in his stroller, his wheelchair, and then you had a double stroller. So how did the double stroller work out for you?
Oh, it's fantastic. I was so glad we had it. And in fact, before we left, my husband was like, we don't need a double. You're being crazy. And I was like, you're going to look at me and thank me for this once we're on the trip. And he sure did first day. Because the five-year-old, who's a pretty athletic, active guy, he rode in it a ton. And we were so thankful to have it. I think he even napped in it one day. So it was really nice to have three stroller spots.
Yeah. And the kids that aren't used to being in strollers can pop in and out as needed.
Right. My eight-year-old would get kind of tired and I'd be like, well, just hop in for a second. He's like, no, that's embarrassing, Mom. But by the end, he did hop in for a couple times, even as an eight-year-old, because it was just hot and it's a lot of walking. So it was nice to have the option. Or we would just throw our bags in it if everybody was walking. It was just nice to have the space.
Yeah. I'm just picturing, though, it's a lot to push. It's a lot to...
We looked like a posse walking down the aisles, I think. But
yeah,
it was fun.
Yeah. Okay. So the wheelchair stroller situation is working out well for you. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what was your second day?
Second day was Hollywood Studios and, we meant to get there early, but everyone was really tired. So we slept in a little bit, and instead, got up a little bit later, had breakfast at the club level again and hopped on a 9:05 bus to Hollywood Studios. So we were a little bit behind, for that.
And what was your plan once you got to Hollywood Studios?
Well, my original plan when I thought we'd get there before was to do yours, which is Toy Story and then Jedi training. But by the time we got there, I just went straight to Jedi training sign up to get my son signed up for that. And then we went back to Toy Story Land. It was hot. I thought Hollywood Studios was insanely hot. So we went to Toy Story Land and I got a disability pass for Swirling Saucers. And we kind of just walked around for a while until we could do that. And then we did Swirling Saucers. And then we got the disability pass for Toy Story Mania. And at that point we had to go all the way over to Rock and Roller Coaster for the Fast Pass. And so we did Rock and Roller Coaster. And then at that point, only my au pair wanted to do Tower of Terror. And then after that we had to go back to Toy Story Land for Toy Story Mania. So we kind of traversed the park multiple times, which is probably poor planning on my part. And then we did Jedi training. And at that point, it felt dangerously hot to me at that point. And my three-year-old wasn't looking very good. So we left.
Mm-hmm. You left Hollywood Studios. Toy Story Land is the hottest place on the planet, I think.
I think you might be right.
It is. I try to say it over and over again so people are aware and can plan ahead for that. It's just really hard to put it into words.
Well, and I don't know if it feels extra hot because I think it's a very overwhelming place too. Like it's beautifully done, but it is bright and there's a lot coming at you. So it feels doubly overwhelming because it's hot and it feels claustrophobic a little to me. I don't know.
So in the morning you were talking about running late and stuff. How much of the planning information is running through your head as you're trying to get your family dressed and out the door?
Constantly. I'm like, oh my gosh, we got to go. just trying to kind of revise my plans as we go. it was kind of constantly going on.
Yeah. Because I mean, you know, I'm always talking about rope drop and you got to be early and you got to do this, you got to do that. But if you can't do that, you have to adjust. And, that adds stress.
I was going to say, I think of Hollywood Studios as my most stressful day. And I think that may have been part of it because I planned on being there for rear drop and we weren't. I still think it was a good idea to sleep later, but it definitely kind of made me a little more frantic throughout the day.
Yeah. And you think if I get off track, you know, then everything is ruined.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so that's difficult. It's always been a goal of mine to combine flexibility with planning, and it's a goal to get better at that so that people aren't frantic so you can adjust on the fly and maybe even go at night. Toy Story Land is really great at night, in particular because of the weather. And so we might start thinking about nighttime plans as well. But anyway, I'm just curious because that feels stressful.
It was. Yeah. But we made it.
And you adjusted.
Right. And we also just, when it was obvious that it was getting too hot for everybody, we just left. You know, we just said, this isn't worth it. You know, we're not enjoying this anymore. It's time to go.
But you signed up for Jedi training. So did you do Jedi training?
We did. We stayed until Jedi training was over, which is great. My son had a great time while being mildly terrified. And then and once it was done, we left.
When you went to sign up for it, did you have your pick of times?
They were filling up actually rather quickly at that point. Cause I was standing there and I said, okay, I'll take the spot for, I don't know, 10 o'clock. And she was like, oh, it just filled up, next one. But I still had a pretty good selection.
Yeah. They used to fill up for the whole day though, by that time. So the fact that you could do, you know, a couple hours away is not too bad. I was just curious, since you decided to leave early, you know, how late your Jedi training ended up being.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have said that. Yes. I made the Jedi training for noon, knowing that we were all a little tired. It was going to be hot. So I made it for noon, thinking that maybe a cutoff period anyway.
So while you were at Hollywood Studios, did you eat or?
I did. I'm sorry. I did mobile ordering at Woody's Lunchbox.
Okay. And also hot, right?
Also hot.
Also hot to eat out there.
Well, I actually had to get it, throw it in my stroller, and run it to Jedi training because we were a little bit late at that point. So it was hot to eat, but we ate just while sitting watching my son do Jedi training.
Okay, so you took it to go.
We did, but they didn't give us to-go containers, so I had to very carefully sprint the stroller through Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
Which, that's the other thing about Toy Story Land. It's very awkward to get to, I think, with the stroller because there's just that one ramp to go down. Mm-hmm. I don't know, just one narrow ramp when you have a stroller. So I just think it was just kind of a tight space, I think.
Yeah. And the flow is going to change a lot when the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opens. There'll be more of a flow through like there used to be.
Okay.
Back there, I think. But right now, and you know, that doesn't help you right now in 2018, but eventually I think that flow will work better. Okay. So Hollywood Studios day, you're tired, you're hot, and you go back to your hotel.
We went back to our hotel. That's right. So, but that was the day that we had the Star Wars dessert party with my older boys. So we actually went back to the hotel. We rested, got our au pair and the little boys kind of settled with plans on what to do for the afternoon. And then we went back. My husband and I went back with the older two boys around 4:30. We went back to Hollywood Studio.
And what time was the dessert party?
7. Yeah, okay. 7.
Did you
check in at 6:30?
You checked in. Okay, so did Disney tell you to check in at 6:30 or?
No, you did.
I did. Okay. I wasn't sure. Well, I wasn't sure what time it was scheduled for that day. Okay, so 7 is when Disney told you to check in?
Yes.
And so you showed up early at 6:30. Okay.
Yeah. So we went, what we did was we had for 4:30 to 5:30 Slinky Dog Dash fast passes. So we went at 4:30 and we did Slinky Dog Dash, which is a ridiculously fun roller coaster. Mm-hmm. And then we still had some time to kill. And I got on my phone and got an Indiana Jones fast pass, which would have been perfect because it was just the right amount of time to finish that and go over to the dessert party. But they, 10 minutes into the show, they canceled the show for lightning, which was a bit of a bummer because we've been telling our kids, you know, how great it is. But so we just went over and actually checked in probably closer to like 6:20 for the dessert party. And they just, you know, let us walk around. And that's when we decided to meet Chewie and BB-8 and all those guys before the party started. And that worked out perfect.
And did you find that people were starting to check in around that time?
No, I would say people didn't show up until 6:50.
Really?
Yeah, it was really empty. And it was roped off. Like, you couldn't actually go into the dessert party part until 7 exactly. But I would say even at that point, because we were so close, we walked in right at 7 and people didn't start coming in till 7:05 or after.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good to know. That's why I asked. Because the dessert parties I've attended, people were there early and they were serving people early. So
yeah, that's what you had said. So I kind of expected that, but honestly it still worked. I'm still glad we checked in early, because I'd save that time to do meet the Star Wars characters. So I was still happy to have been there early and checked in and settled.
Yeah. And so one of my complaints about this party in the past has been that there were not tables and chairs, but there are now, right?
There are assigned tables and chairs,
which is so much more civilized.
I can't imagine doing it without. Like, standing there would have been rough.
Yeah. Well, especially with kids. I mean, and a lot of them have lightsabers. And so it's like this war zone of lightsabers and kids running around. And, you know, that's why I said uncivilized.
Yes. No, this was a very controlled chaos. It was nice.
Yeah. I mean, the other dessert parties work like that. So I thought, why can't this one? So I'm glad to hear it. So how did you like the food and drinks and all that?
It was awesome. The drinks were great. The fried Nutella is amazing. And I was glad that they had savory stuff, because that was kind of our dinner plan for the night too. So, you know, we had the kids eat the hummus and cheese and things like that, and then they could have their dessert. So it was nice to have both options.
Yeah, dinner and dessert. Yeah, it should be called a dinner and dessert party, or at mm-hmm. least like appetizer and dessert party or something right. like that.
Yeah, because you do get a lot more than just cupcakes and chocolate. I haven't done the other ones, but it seemed really pretty worth the money when you consider the drinks and, you know, that we made a dinner out of it too.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Because all the dessert parties have some savory options. So.
Oh, okay. And then, you know, you have a reserved time to go meet Kylo Ren, as part of the dessert party, which, was cool and terrifying.
Yes. Always terrifying.
I mean, that is some seriously good acting. I had to go by myself because somehow I missed when my husband took the boys, and it was so scary, but it was so fun.
I think that's the character where I said, I'm scared. And he said, good.
Yes. Yeah. He gets in your face. He was wagging his finger in my face. And yeah, it was amazing. That guy did a fantastic job.
Yeah. They're really great. Okay. So food and drinks were good. You were glad you were there early. Character meet. And then they took you out to watch the fireworks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I was worried about where we were going to be, because I know, you know, you say that it's a lot closer. But it was fine. And we sat in the far back of the viewing area. And I think a little bit of the side parts you couldn't see, but for the most part, it was no problem.
Yeah. It is just close. It just used to be in a different spot. And so it's a little bit frustrating that they moved it, but it's reserved and you don't have to stake out a spot an hour ahead of time like a lot mm-hmm. of other people did. So.
But. Yeah, and the fireworks and the projections were amazing. They were wonderful.
Good. Perfect for Star Wars fans or non-Star Wars fans, because it's just a great show.
It is a good show. It is. And then when that was over, we actually Ubered home, because I had brought the inflatable car seat for my kids. We just thrown it in the backpack, and that worked out so great. It was, I think, like $10 to get to Animal Kingdom, and we didn't have to wait in line, and she was waiting for us. It was great.
So you had the inflatable car seats like in your bag or whatever?
Yep. They just, you know, they deflate and you can fit them in a backpack. So we just kind of hung out with them on our backpack until we needed them.
Yeah. Can you talk about the walk from the Hollywood Studios bus stop and Uber stop to the park?
Yeah. It's long. It's really long. So it was, I guess you go a different direction to get to the Uber, to the car pickup. I think that the Uber pickup was shorter walk than the buses though.
It is. It is shorter. Yeah. It's just that it's not right in front of the park, because that's where the construction is.
Right. Nothing's near the park. I mean, the bus stops were so far. So yeah, you do have to walk quite a ways. But I guess everyone's going that way, so you don't even notice at that point how long it is.
Oh, I'm not going to stop complaining about it though.
Oh, no, it's terrible. The bus part was horrible, especially when it was afternoon and so hot, and it's just all concrete, so you feel like the sun is just beating on you. So it is pretty miserable.
It is. I really wanted the Uber Picket to be a bit closer, but there's just not much they can do with all that construction right there. So I thought it was interesting that you chose the Uber because it does save you some steps and you don't have to wait.
Well, I was just afraid. The kids were tired and I was afraid that the buses would be full and long lines. And I mean, we got out of there so fast and home so fast using the Uber.
Yeah. Yep. It's handy. So interesting that you took advantage of it, especially while you had your older kids who you didn't have to have four car seats at that point.
Right. Right. Well, at one point, I think on our magic, one day I looked at minivans at Animal Kingdom Lodge and it was going to be $37 for one of them to get to one of the parks. And I thought, oh my goodness, that seemed really expensive.
And I've heard that they will not allow you to bring your own car seats. So someone just told me it was a sort of a similar family makeup as yours, where they wanted the minivan to provide two car seats and they were going to bring their own inflatables. And they said no.
Oh,
so that would have been a problem for you guys if those rules are enforced consistently. Okay. Anyway. But yeah, so imagine $37 and then you're told you have to get another one.
Right. So you're like almost $80 for a ride. No way.
Right. For the rest of your family. Okay. So that was the end of your Hollywood Studios day.
Mm-hmm.
What was your next day?
The next day was Epcot.
Okay.
Which was awesome. I have to say, we almost didn't do Epcot, and I hadn't been back since I was a kid. It was great. I didn't realize how cool Epcot is. It felt really not very crowded at all at Epcot, which was lovely. So in the morning, I didn't feel like fighting the bus situation. So we actually hopped on one of those Mears taxi vans that's waiting outside the resort.
Mm-hmm.
And it was $15 to Epcot for all of us. Which I thought was a pretty good deal. And we got there without having to, fight for a spot on the bus and whatnot. So that was really a great start.
But can you talk about that real quick? Because you said it was so Mears is the taxi company and it was a van. So they accommodated all of you. And did they have car seats?
They didn't. I guess that's the law, is that you don't have to have a car seat on a van.
Okay.
Or something. But, so maybe it was a little less safe, but it was super convenient. They were waiting just in front of the hotel. We'd seen them every morning. So we just popped over and asked how much and, loaded the strollers and everything else in and went right over.
Yeah. That seems like a good deal.
It was a really good deal.
Yeah. It's nice that there was a van there and you didn't have to call a van, because usually it's just cars that are lined up. But
yeah, and honestly, if they hadn't been waiting there, I wouldn't even thought to consider it. So it's pretty smart on their part to be there, because it was just like, oh, we could try this out. Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty smart to be at Animal Kingdom Lodge, who gets a lot of criticism for their bus situation. came in handy for you, and you got to Epcot. When did you get there?
Before it started, or before it opened. And there was minimal line for bag check. I think we got there 10 minutes before it opened.
Okay.
So there was like the little drum thing. And then we just walked straight in, went into Spaceship Earth, which is a great place for a baby to nap. It is dark and cold and long. So we did that first and the baby took a good nap, which was great. And then we had our, fast pass for Soarin'. And while the first set of people did Soarin', I took the little kids to the aquarium because it was air conditioned and they loved the fish, to look at the fish. So that's a great place to wait if you're doing rider swap for Soarin'.
And it's in the building next door.
Mm-hmm. But that aquarium's amazing. I don't remember that being there. I mean, they had manatees and dolphins. It was super cool.
Yeah, it is. It's a good place to kill some time in the air conditioning for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as we had done the Soarin' thing, we just went ahead and did Nemo because there was no wait for it. And then Mission Space, where my boys did the green and I did the orange. And that is a cool ride as well. And then we did Test Track. And my five-year-old was irate when he came out because they didn't actually make his car. So parents may want to warn their children they're not actually going to make the car, because that was a real big problem for us.
Yeah. Okay. So when this version of Test Track relaunched a few years ago, people fought, oh, there's a car making element. So you're obviously going to ride in the car or you're going to get the car. And the only thing it does is appear on the screen, really.
Yeah. That's hard to explain to a five-year-old who was expecting something else.
I know. It's really hard to explain. And it's even hard to see when you're on the ride that you need to pay attention to the screens throughout to see the car that you designed. I know. It's very, I think, yeah, I'm not sure that was well thought out.
So I don't know. Maybe somebody could warn their their child beforehand because we did not, and it was rough.
Yes. Good point.
So after that, I had actually gotten last minute lunch reservations at, and I'm going to butcher this, Oscar House?
At Kershus.
Okay. That. I had gotten last minute reservations and I thought, I don't care if I have boys. I want to do a princess lunch. And it was awesome.
Yeah. So did you like the food?
Yeah, the food was pretty good. The princesses were just really lovely. They were, flirting with the boys, and my 5-year-old would like giggle cause they would wink and wave at him, and, he would giggle and blush. Like they were great. It was really sweet. The only problem I had was the little hostess when you check in was insistent that I had to pay for my G-tube fed child. And we had a little bit of a interaction about that, but finally the manager came out and, said it was no problem.
And what you're talking about is that it's a fixed price meal where everyone gets charged, but right. Your son only eats through a tube.
Right. And she was like, well, he gets a princess experience. And I was like, man, my son doesn't care about princesses. It's just not really registering with him. So, yes, you're right. They say, even if you don't eat, you have to pay because of the experience. But if you have a child that really probably wouldn't understand, they will waive that fee.
Yeah. I mean, that seems reasonable.
Yeah, I thought so.
Okay. But you liked it. I'm glad you were able to snag that reservation.
Yeah, I was thrilled. It was great. And the boys really loved it. And as we were walking in, we actually used the disability pass for Frozen. And so that burned out while we were eating. So we were able to finish eating and then walk right onto the Frozen ride.
That's a cute combo.
Yeah. And I thought the Frozen ride was great. I didn't really have any expectations for it. And it was so sweet. It was really cute. I thought it was adorable.
Do you have Frozen fans in your family?
They're kind of media. They like it. It's not their favorite. But I think it's great.
Yeah. Not a high priority, but you still liked it.
But we still liked it. Yeah. Even the boys enjoyed it. So it was good. And then we just kind of watched the World Showcase. But at that point, we were kind of full and it was so hot. We didn't really feel like eating or drinking anything. So it was kind of sad because I would have loved to have tried some of the drinks and food, but we just didn't have the energy for it.
Yeah. It's really tough during the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have loved to have been able to go in the evening or nighttime. I think that would have been really neat, but it's just not the season for that. We'll go back some other time.
It's not the season of your life for that is what you mean, right?
Right, yes.
Yes.
Sorry, yes.
No, but both. It's hot time of year and it's the season of – no, I think it's helpful to – if you have the privilege of being able to go back, it is nice to view it as a future opportunity when you're in a different season of life.
That's right. So we were walking and we were getting hot and we had a fast pass for Figment. We got there and it was shut down for problems. But what we did, which was kind of fun, is those like spitting fountains right by Figment? Mm-hmm. We actually like threw our bodies in front of the shooting water and got really wet. And that was a great way to cool down. So that was nice to just kind of get wet and cool down a little bit from the heat.
Yeah, that little fountain area is pretty interesting.
It's so cool.
Yeah, it's cute. I'm glad you took the time for fountains. Because I think Epcot has tons of fountains. So it's sort of a nice thing to – I actually one time in the last couple of years said, I'm going to walk around and take pictures of the fountains because I walk past them. It was so fast.
I have to give credit. That was my husband. He remembered it from childhood, and he really wanted to go see those again. So he's the one who stopped and made us appreciate the details.
That's right. It's one of the only things I remember from going as a kid was those fountains.
Yeah, that's what he said.
It is. I mean, you never know what's going to stick with the kid.
Right. So jump in front of the Figment fountains. It was cool. The kids loved it.
Yeah. Well, that's a cute little detour. What else did you do at Epcot?
That is it. By that point, I think it was like 2:00 and we were hot and kind of felt like we had done most of what we were going to be able to do. So we actually went home and we did change into suits and take the bus to Kidani to take advantage of the pool. Unfortunately, when we got there, it lightened, so we had to leave, but that was the plan. So then we just took the bus back and had dinner at the club level again. By this point, I swear I can never have cheese or cured meats again, but we had club dinner there. And then we actually took the little boys back, and our au pair and my older son went back to Magic Kingdom because they had extra magic hours, I think. The au pair and my older son went back and did a bunch of rides and saw the fireworks and whatnot while we got the younger ones to bed at a reasonable time.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you, you did the Star Wars fireworks with your older boys, but you had made early evenings for many nights. And I wondered how you felt about that.
I think it's a bummer. Again, I think in the next couple of years, it'll be different and we'll be able to go more in the evening. But with a one-year-old and a three-year-old that gets really tired, it just wasn't possible for all of us to go back. It just wouldn't have been the right thing to do. But I did think it was a bummer. So I'm really glad that I sent my older son an au pair to at least enjoy the evening experience.
At Magic Kingdom.
Right.
Yeah. And even I remember having kids that were, 10 and 15 or like something in that age range. And they had decided we don't care about the nighttime show so much. So we would rather just leave after dinner and have an early evening. And so sometimes you just have to honor that. That's the schedule that they're on. So
Right. And pushing it doesn't work out well for anybody. You know, you may as well just cut your losses and enjoy the time that you do spend there.
That's right. That's why I think it's helpful to remember that you're not there to do everything. You're there to have fun with your family. And sometimes that means you have to miss a lot.
Exactly.
And that's okay because you fit a lot of other things into the time that you had.
Right. But my son, I don't really understand how this worked, but they somehow managed to do Small World, Thunder Mountain, Splash Mountain, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and see the projections. So they were able to do a whole lot. The details of which are unclear to me. I'm not sure how they did it.
We won't ask questions.
They're going to plan my next trip because apparently they're amazing at it. I don't know.
Yeah. If they're a little bit more nimble with only the two of them.
That's true.
They were probably able to find some fast passes last minute and navigate quickly.
Right.
Okay, so after that day, you had Animal Kingdom?
Actually, that was the day that we were doing. The next day, we were doing a hotel transfer.
Okay.
Because they didn't have what we needed space-wise in any Disney resort. So that's when we were transferring to Wyndham Bonnet Creek. So we slept in. At that point, my three-year-old, one with special needs, was pretty wiped out from the heat and the long days. So he actually seemed to have a bit of heat exhaustion. Actually, he was throwing up a lot and just pretty lethargic. So we kind of had to keep him cool and pushing some Pedialyte. So we let him rest. We asked for late checkout, which we got. I took the older boys to the pool in the morning, let them swim around while my other ones rested. And then we checked out and transferred to Wyndham Bonnet Creek.
How did you transfer?
So my wonderful private car driver, the VIP luxury transportation, he picked us up. I talked to him about it when I was in the midst of changing plans. I had been texting with him. So he came and was waiting for us with our car seats in the car and took us over there. And it was $28.
And compare that to the minivan quote that you had seen, which was $37. Okay.
Right.
So you had a private driver take you to Wyndham, Bonnet Creek.
Mm-hmm. The same guy that picked us up at the airport took us over there. Yep.
How did you feel about Wyndham, Bonnet Creek?
So it's lovely. I mean, I think it's not fair for any hotel to be compared to a Disney hotel, deluxe hotel, especially. So it's a lovely hotel. It was super cool. It's enormous. They had great pools that the kids loved. And it was a lot of space. For, you know, a really reasonable price. So we really enjoyed it. It was great.
Yeah, I'm glad that you did. And I often get asked why I don't do more offsite stuff. So I'll be staying there in November and I look forward to talking about it.
Yeah, I'll get to hear what you think. I mean, it's just going from such richly themed surroundings. I was like, why are these hallways bare? but it's great. I mean, the service was wonderful. They had fantastic pools. Like I said, we had washer, dryer, a kitchen. So it was a great space.
How did you feel about going from a Disney hotel to a non-Disney hotel?
It was rough. Just in the sense, you know, that I don't know. It's Disney versus not. So I almost would go the other way. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd rather go from a regular hotel to a Disney because it does feel like a little bit of a letdown, even though Wyndham Bonnet Creek's lovely. Mm-hmm. It's just hard. It's just not the same.
Right. It's a switch.
Mm-hmm.
It is a switch. Okay. So at Bonnet Creek, if I recall, you had 2 days there, right?
That's right. Yes. We went that day and then had a full day and then we left the next day. So that day was just a pool, get settled in the new place. Kind of not much to say about that other than it's a nice place. And the kids love the lazy river that the kids thought was just awesome.
Yeah, it looks fun. And especially since you were just at a hotel where the main pool was closed.
Right, exactly. And the whole place just felt a little more relaxed and slower. And I think there were people there just vacationing there, not really doing Disney. I mean, there were some definite Disney people, but there were also people there, I think, just enjoying the amenities of that hotel. So it was kind of a nice mix. And it felt a little bit like an escape, maybe.
Yeah. And this was sort of a break day for you, it sounds like.
Yes, exactly.
You weren't in the parks. You were doing the pool thing. Yeah.
Right. So, recharging, things like that.
Maybe a much needed break after 3 busy days.
Yeah. I'm actually really glad that we had been able to work that in. I think it makes a difference to take a break. It's just too much to do the parks day after day with the kids.
Yeah, it is a lot. Okay. So then your following day was that one at Animal Kingdom?
Yes, that's our Animal Kingdom day. So I had been able to get 8:10 Tusker House breakfast reservations at the last minute just by checking the app repeatedly.
Now, you previously had dinner reservations there.
I did. We had 4 o'clock. But by that point, I had realized that my kids were not going to make it if we did that, or it just wouldn't be a nice experience. So I just kept checking, realizing that earlier is better for us. And then 8:10 opened up, which was fantastic. It was a great way to start the Animal Kingdom day.
Okay, good. So that's a really great time.
Yeah. So one thing about Wyndham Bonnet Creek, just to note, is that it's $8 per person per way to take a shuttle there. So the transportation to the parks is kind of a problem staying there because we didn't have a car. So I actually ended up texting the driver and said, can you take us to Animal Kingdom and bring us home? And he was like, absolutely. So we actually used the driver again to pick us up in the morning and drive us there, which was nice.
That is nice. And probably not that much different in price.
It was cheaper. It was cheaper, $28. And it was great because we just hopped in the car and didn't have to wait for a shuttle and left.
You are really making use of all kinds of transportation this trip.
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you got to Animal Kingdom for your breakfast and that was enjoyable.
It was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Good. You liked the food and the character interaction there?
Yes, all of it. It was great. And we were done by 9 o'clock. So we were done, you know, by park opening.
And then once the park was open, what was your plan?
Well, as we were finishing, I looked at the Flight of Passage wait because I was trying to decide between Safari and Flight of Passage. And at that point, it was already, I mean, it was 9:01 and it was like a 60-minute wait. So I just said, let's just do the Safari to see the animals. So we actually walked right onto the Safari. And then did Cali River Rapids, and there was using a fast pass, but there was no wait at all. And then Expedition Everest was closed, unfortunately, which I was really hoping to ride a few times with the kids without a wait before our fast pass for it, but it was shut down. So we just went on to our dinosaur fast pass. And there was actually a really long line for dinosaur, and I think it's because Expedition Everest was closed down.
Yeah, ride closures can change the whole dynamic of a park. So, you know, like at Hollywood Studios, if Slinky Dog Dash is closed, oh man, the whole park is. I mean, you know, that queue takes up a lot of people. So it's sort of a similar concept for any of the headliners.
Mm-hmm. Right. So everything else was pretty crowded. Luckily, they got Everest up and running in time for our fast pass. So I feel pretty lucky that happened. But while we were waiting for the fast pass and Expedition Everest, we actually went over to the Navi River to get the disability pass, which was 75 minutes. So we got the disability for Navi River. We do have to go to the actual rides. We had to walk over there, but then we checked out Pandora, and then we walked all the way back to Expedition Everest for our fast passes, which is awesome. That's such an amazing roller coaster. It was fantastic. I wish we'd been able to do it a couple times, but all the next fast passes for that were taken, I think, again, because everyone was just doing it for later. Mm-hmm. And then we went back to Navi River. I stopped to get my Dole Whip with rum on the way, which is delicious. Mm-hmm. And then we did the Navi River with the disability pass. And at that point, we'd ridden most of the things we wanted to and kind of just decided, all right, we're just going to wait for Flight of Passage because it said it was a 75-minute wait. I'm sorry, I said it was a 95-minute wait, but we felt like it was still early enough that we could make that work. So my husband sat with the little kids while my au pair and the older 2 boys and I waited. It took about 80 minutes, but we did Flight of Passage.
You did it. So did you do rider switch?
We did rider switch. I was actually a little worried they weren't going to let us do it, but they did.
And okay, so all of you who wanted to ride got to ride.
We did. But it took about 3 hours by the time we did, waited in the line, did the ride, and rider swapped it. I mean, it was definitely a commitment.
What did you think of the ride?
It was wonderful. I don't think it's my favorite ride. I loved Space Mountain and Expedition Everest, but it's an amazing feat of technology. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful. That's the best way to describe it. And so Navi River Journey is also beautiful.
It's beautiful. I'm glad I didn't wait in that line.
Mm-hmm.
But it is just profoundly beautiful and amazing what they've done with it.
Yeah. So was this the end of your Animal Kingdom day?
Yep. At that point, the kids we were all really hungry because it was about 4. So I did mobile ordering at Satuli Canteen right there, or Canteen. And that was great. That food was delicious. So we ate that. And I had texted Orlando, our driver, to see if he could pick us up at 4:30. And so we walked out and he was waiting for us and he whisked us away back to the Wyndham.
And was that your last park day?
That was our last day.
All right. So one day in each park with a break mm-hmm. day in the middle.
Yep.
And it sounds like a really full trip.
It was. It was a full, fun, really, really great time. So thank you for all your tips to make planning easier and more fun. It was really helpful.
Yeah. And I think that there were some, you had some disappointing moments, but that happens. And maybe people can learn from them, even though a lot of it's out of your control.
That's right. I mean, you have to expect not everything to go your way. So I think overall, I can't complain about a thing. It was all really lovely.
And so a couple things. You had Memory Maker.
Yes.
Did you think that was worth it?
Oh, by far. We used it a lot. I've got a lot of entire family pictures, which we don't have a lot of. And anytime I saw a Memory Maker, I would just grab them and we would take a picture. Did some of just my husband and I, which I don't know, we haven't done in a couple of years maybe. So I think Memory Maker is totally worth it.
A lot of people do feel that way, but not always. So I wanted to check. Mm-hmm. And then I believe you mentioned that you were getting Prime Now delivered to Animal Kingdom Lodge.
I did.
And did you like the convenience of that?
Yes, it was great to order it at the airport knowing that it would be there. We did have the unfortunate circumstances where they Animal Kingdom lost it and then also didn't refrigerate our items. So all the refrigerated stuff was ruined. But the idea of it was really great.
The idea was great. Okay.
Yeah. So and then I did it for Wyndham Bonnet Creek too, because we got there and I realized, I don't have club level for breakfast anymore. I need something. So I did it for club level and that worked great, or for Wyndham, and that worked awesome too.
So the fast passes they gave you at Animal Kingdom Lodge, was it related to them losing your Prime Now order?
It was.
Okay. Yeah. You had mentioned something about a snafu. I wasn't clear, but now I understand.
I didn't feel like boring with the details, but yeah, basically they completely just, I don't know, lost it or I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's frustrating. All right. You tried it.
The Prime Now, I mean, at the Bonnet Creek, it worked great and they were delivered perfectly. I think it just got a little lost in the shuffle.
Right. And what do you think your kids are going to remember most from this trip?
Oh, that's such a good question. I think that they'll remember the princess lunch actually, because they were just so cute at it. And Space Mountain was really stuck with them because my 5-year-old was kind of floored by it. They thought that was cool. And then they actually think it was really funny how upset I got about the check-in process at Animal Kingdom Lodge. They may just remember me being angry. I don't know.
Oh, I hope not.
Not angry, but just like laughingly frustrated. That's a really good question. I hope they just remember our time together. It was really fun.
Yeah. Well, sometimes kids get fixated on certain elements that are surprising. when you get home, they keep talking about that thing that you never anticipated they would.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything specific from them. So I'll see. Time will tell. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see.
So when do you think that your next trip will be?
Well, we go for every boy's 5th birthday. So my next one is 3. So in 2 years, we should be going again, probably during a cooler season. So yeah, luckily, just another year and I get to start planning again.
That's right. Helpful to keep yourself busy. So, I mean, not that you don't already have enough on your plate, but when, planning becomes a bit of a part-time job. So,
well, it's a fun hobby and distraction. I really enjoy it. So,
right. So you get to get back into it soon. So,
that's right.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you sharing with us and I can't wait to see the pictures.
Yes, I will get some up. But thank you so much for letting me do this. It's been super fun talking to you.
All right. Thanks, Amy.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed that trip report. I do have a quick tip before you wrap it up. This one was emailed in by Julie. She said, our family of six relies on getting ice waters from quick service counters on our trips. It's just too much to bring in that many water bottles every day. We found that not only is mobile ordering good for food, but when we just need some quick cups of ice water, we went to the mobile order pickup line. We didn't order them ahead of time, but often they just had the water sitting there waiting to be passed out, and they would kindly give us a cup. It saved us a lot of time to not wait in the regular line for just a cup of water. So that is a fantastic tip, Julie. And I have also seen those cups just sitting out on the counter, and I'm sure that would save a lot of time, especially since the mobile line tends to be a lot shorter. So that makes a lot of sense. I appreciate you sending that in. So as always, if you want to get links that were mentioned in this episode, you can look in your podcasting app or go to the website and click podcast at the top and find this episode, episode 190. I think that'll wrap up this episode. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.